Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Chiefs-Bills, another marquee matchup. We'll get to some of the other matchups of the postseason and the craziness that happened all over the Super Wild Card weekend. But just first, your early read of Chiefs and Bills for another go-round.
I think it's the de facto AFC Championship game. I really do. I know the Titans are the one seed, and the Titans getting back Derrick Henry is a huge task for anybody, and the Titans are well-coached, interesting defense, the best running back in the NFL, arguably coming back. They've been there before. But the Chiefs last night proved once again that their best is better than anybody else's best in the AFC. Because defensively, all season long, they were carried by the defense. But last night, we saw the offense harken back to the last couple of years. And then the Buffalo Bills, what they did on Saturday night, is nothing short of destroying an entire aura and mystique around the Patriots. It's dead. It's done. Because once you get humiliated in the playoffs like that, nobody else will ever be, quote, scared of playing you in the playoffs. Well, the Bills did that because they were not scared of the Patriots. They attacked the Pats downfield. They never stopped throwing. They never stopped scoring. And Josh Allen had one of the great playoff days ever. Well, if the Bills' offense can be that good and defensively completely shut down the Patriots until the last garbage time minutes, these two teams at their best are the two best teams of the AFC. So I think winner, this is an AFC Championship game.
I agree with you, D.A. I said that kind of going into this morning. We've got the AFC Championship game this week at Arrowhead Stadium. And Patrick Mahomes is really good in these revenge games. The only guy he hasn't been able to get revenge on really has been Tom Brady. So I think he gets revenge, but I don't know that it's going to be like a 49-48 type of game. I think we may see a lower scoring type of game this go around.
Could. That Chiefs defense obviously really stepped up over the course of the season when the Chiefs offense wasn't, and we talked about that weekly. And last night, it's tough to tell because the Steelers offense is so limited. Those wide receivers had so many bad plays in the first half, and that offensive line's been really crummy the entire year for the Steelers. So it's hard to say how good the Chiefs defense is or would be last night against a real offense. But, you know, look, the Chiefs defense, when they're at their best, they get after the passer, and that's the way that they're going to have to harass Josh Allen. The thing is, as you saw on Saturday, Allen is so big and so strong and so mobile with a big arm that you can hit him and it might bounce off of him and he could still make plays. So it's a huge challenge for the Chiefs defense, but I just love this matchup. This matchup is so interesting and so exciting because Josh Allen at his best, like Saturday, is the ultimate weapon in the NFL playoffs because of how big and accurate his arm is combined with how dynamic his scrambling ability can be.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's not just as scary when the middle of the field opens and he's trucking through there.
No kidding. I mean, who wants to step up and hit this guy? You know, in football, it's kind of like basketball. You watch on TV, and because everybody's big, you don't quite notice how big these guys really are, and then you stand next to them or you see them in context, and then you're like, oh, wow. And Josh Allen's, what, 6'6", 6'7"? He's a huge human being, and he rumbles like that? Yeah, I thought it was interesting, guys, that after the game, the Bills were not celebrating. It wasn't, yeah, we beat the Patriots. We sucked the heart out of our, you know, villain, the enemy. We got this win in front of the fans. It was like, it's what we're supposed to do on to the next. And Josh Allen said that after the game. And so that's the sign of a team that now has really arrived to win something more than just a wild card game.
So what do you think? I mean, like, I know it's Monday and we're just digesting what happened yesterday, and for some odd reason we've got to watch the Rams and Cardinals tonight. but I mean, let's talk about games that matter. Let's talk about the Bills and the Chiefs. What is your early gut feel of who advances out of this one?
Well, I don't think the Bills will. I know the Bills never have a day like they had on Saturday, because nobody else ever has.
Right. Right.
This
it's historic.
A staggering stat. Nobody ever in NFL history had not punted, nor turned the football over, nor settled for a field goal and only scored touchdowns the entire day until the Bills did it. So will they ever do that again? No, but I think the Chiefs defense is in for the toughest test of their season, because the Bills just unlocked their greatest potential, and they did it against a team that was supposed to be a top five defense in the NFL. Now, maybe the Patriots defense was floated by playing bad teams this year. That's certainly possible. But the Chiefs defense has a challenge that they really haven't faced all season. That includes the Herbert games, which is an offense that the play calling it can be spectacular. Like, Brian Daboll's touch on Saturday was mixing the run of the pass so perfectly that, you know, the Patriots were on ice skates all day. So I think that challenge for the Chiefs defense is enormous. And again, Allen can take broken plays or plays where you played it correctly and still, you know, create a touchdown. Now, Mahomes can do the same thing. So the point is that the matchup starts with this Chiefs defense getting to the passer, staying disciplined, and doing all those things they did early in the season when they were floating the year because the offense was not that good. I think the X factor, though, is the Chiefs offense last night's Chiefs offense? Because then it's advantage Kansas City. Of course, home field advantage matters as well. But, I mean, last night was kind of vintage Mahomes. 404, five touchdowns.
Yeah.
And, you know, I looked up at the end of that game, and I just looked at that box score. I said, when did he put together the 400 and the five touchdowns? Like, it happened in such a blur.
It did. 10 minutes and 30 seconds of game time. It's the fastest recorded five touchdowns in NFL history, I think.
Yeah, and so if the Chiefs offense is dialed back into that, I don't know how you beat them, because that's just insane.
What's really more insane, though, D.A., is that with 5:46 to go before halftime, the Chiefs were down 7-0, and then they went into the halftime with a 21-7 lead.
it's nuts.
Believe me, I thought the first half under was looking really, really good at that point in time. And then, boom, three plays happen. You're like, oh, 21-7, game's over. Okay, that was fun.
Yeah, it really was fun. Now, I know you're at the national level, and I've seen some national folks say they want Burrow versus Allen in the AFC championship game. Where do you fall on a new blood being in the AFC championship
already.
Game? Already, yeah.
Well, yeah, right. This is what happens every single year. It's the next guy up is what everybody clamors for. I love Joe Burrow. I think that what Burrow has done to that organization is really on a handful, on your hand, one hand, you can count the guys that walk into a loser and make them a winner. And Burrow did that. I mean, he just changed the entire trajectory and sensibility of the organization, because on Saturday, when it's nip and tuck in the second half of that game, instead of always saying when Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton were there, et cetera, how are they going to lose this playoff game? Now you say, well, how are they going to win this playoff game? They've got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They're going to win this football game. So that, I love Burrow, but it's early for him, and they'll be there. I mean, like I said, I really think Bills Chiefs is the AFC championship game. I think both those teams are ready for a Super Bowl, and both those quarterbacks are worthy of a Super Bowl. I love Burrow, but I still think it's early. I don't put it past the Bengals to really give the Titans a good run. And I think the Bengals could win that game, but I don't think the Bengals are good enough to get to a Super Bowl, because facing either KC or Buffalo, to me, would be a bridge too far for them this early in their evolution.
So that's what I was going to ask you next. I think the winner of this game, you mentioned de facto AFC championship. The winner of this game is going to host that game too. I think Cincinnati's, it's going to be a trendy pick, I know, this week, but I think Cincinnati's going to go to Tennessee and win.
I could see it. You know, I do think we tend to sleep on the Titans because they never do anything pretty, that they're always ugly. They're always kind of moving in slow motion. Ryan Tannehill's not a star, and they were really banged up this year. But, we do have to give them credit that they found ways to win football games without Derrick Henry, and now you add a potentially refreshed Derrick Henry to a team that usually controls the line of scrimmage and doesn't turn the football over and is smartly coached. So if you get a refreshed Derrick Henry, that's a load to try to bring down. But I could see the Bengals winning, and I could see that because they're not just Burrow and Chase. Mixon could be very, very good on the ground, although they didn't really commit to him, I thought, enough on Saturday. And their defense is pretty underrated. They don't have stars on that defense, but they do get after the quarterback, and they do create turnovers. So the thing is going to be, if you can get a lead on the Titans and kind of let Joe Burrow play without playing catch-up, I think, you know, then you let him dictate the pace. And I like my chances with Joe Burrow with a lead anywhere in the playoffs, especially against a team that doesn't play catch-up very well. You know, the Titans aren't built like that. And I think Burrow has a moxie that he makes everybody in that huddle believe that it's their time. And that's, again, there's only a handful of people that can do that ever.
Yeah, it's the coolness factor. It's like Joe Montana. I mean, Josh and I are watching this doc on Peacock now about Joe Montana. If you haven't watched it yet, get it, watch it, enjoy it. It's really good. And they talk about Joe Montana in the huddle just having, like, this ability in the worst situations just to calm everybody down. Joe Burrow's kind of that way, though, too. I mean, I see what you're saying with that. He's just very, like, cool, calm, and collected, and nothing's going to faze that guy.
Yeah, and the thing that you learn about Montana, I haven't seen this doc yet, but I really want to, is that Montana, he didn't look super imposing. He wasn't huge and strong. He didn't have Marino's rifle or Elway's legs. He wasn't built like that. But when you were around him, he just exuded a confidence, like, yeah, I got this. And you go back to his Notre Dame days, everybody in the huddle just said, yeah, Joe's got this. We always got this. And that's where I think Joe Burrow's very unique, is that he didn't have to say it. He's just like, yeah, no, we got it. We're supposed to win. This is not a big deal. This is what we do. This is what I do. And when you just have somebody give off that vibe, you start believing, oh, I guess we're supposed to be the ones that win. And that mentality changes your reality. And we've seen it in the NFL happen so few times. But, like, the Bengals were the worst team in football before they got Joe Burrow. And 2 years later, they feel like they're supposed to win playoff games. How often does that ever happen?
D.A. from CBS Sports Radio, of course, 610 Sports Radio alum. Before we let you go, what the hell in Dallas? I mean,
typical. Dallas Browns are at it again.
Could you just draw it up any better? Not only did they sleepwalk through the first half, not only did they were supposed to lose that football game three or four different times. Not only did he get bailed out when Trent Williams wasn't, you know, set, and so they got to punt it away, but on top of it, then they're the ones that call the idiotic play where Dak Prescott has not enough time, and Dak doesn't hand the football to the referee to put it down, and Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott blame the refs. Mm-hmm. It's the refs' fault. It's the refs. And then when the fans throw garbage onto the field, including at the refs, Dak Prescott says credit to them. So, like, the Cowboys not only talked Super Bowl, remember, early in the season, Amari Cooper said, yeah, we're going to talk Super Bowl here. Jerry Jones also said he never could consider them losing that game against the Broncos. They were already ahead of themselves back in October. But then they're the ones that screw up. They have 14 penalties in a game. They're the ones that played a terrible game, and they're the ones pointing the fingers and saying, yeah, blame the refs. Like, you couldn't draw it up any better that the Cowboys are just losers. It's just a loser organization, and it will be until, you know, further notice.
You had 59 minutes and about 40, 50 seconds, but you're going to blame the refs. You know what I mean? Like,
but blame the refs for not following the rules that you should have been following. Right. We had Derek Johnson, former Chiefs linebacker, out at 7:30. He goes, we used to practice this. You give the ball back to the ref after every play because they have to put it down.
Exactly. Like, the Cowboys ran a ridiculous play and then didn't hand the football to the ref and wants to blame the refs
for
everything getting screwed up. Like, no, this is all on you. It's always been all on you. And if you ignore the 14 penalties that you committed and a three quarters worth of garbage football, it wouldn't even
even come down to that play? Who are you going to blame then if it didn't come down to that play?
So is he going to be fired today or tomorrow, McCarthy?
I think he's staying.
You do? So you think they're willing to let Kellen Moore walk?
I do. Well, that's an interesting question. If Kellen Moore gets an offer, I think that Jerry is going to try to keep this thing like, we'll pay Kellen Moore, the highest offensive coordinator. I think that he's in love with McCarthy. There's something about the twinkle in his eye that he's in love with McCarthy. I really think he keeps him. And it's too perfect. It's just total buffoonery.
DA, enjoy the week heading into the divisional round. Thanks again.
Okay, you got it, guys. See ya.
DA from CBS Sports Radio, 610 Sports Radio alum. You can catch his show every day via the Odyssey app. You can hear 610 Sports Radio as well right there. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. And he joins us each and every Monday chatting NFL. The rematch is ahead with the Bills. Why the Chiefs have a much better shot this go-round. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Over there doing the robot.
I'm jacked up, man.
Kind of off-putting.
Another week of playoff football live in Kansas City,
that's
man.
That's right. That's right.
Gonna go have some Kansas City wings and a Kansas City chicken wrap.
That's right.
You have to remove buffalo from your menu items this week
that
in
orange,
Kansas City.
Orange sauce you put on your wings, it's kind of spicy.
Kansas City sauce.
Will this make Billy Coons' his jingle on Friday?
It should. Can't have buffalo anything this week. And I'm sure there's going to be debates nationally which is better, the wing or the rib, right? We're going to be prepared for those.
As long as it's not impossible.
Yeah, as long as it's not fake meat. Wings are great, especially when you get them at Smokehouse Barbecue. Therefore, the Smokehouse Barbecue wing is greater than any wing on earth. Kansas City 1, Buffalo 0.
Yeah, I'm not having that debate because you're not going to like my answer. It's a wing. Yeah.
You like the wings, huh?
Yeah.
Are you a drum or a flat guy?
See, I'm a drum guy.
Big drum guy.
Both.
Sure.
I do like them both.
Gun to your head, what are you picking?
I'm taking drum.
Better handle, able to dip it into blue cheese.
Yeah, much better for dipping. Yeah.
More meat.
Yeah, trying to dip one of those flat things isn't easy.
But I like having the flat ones in there.
Yeah, they're
fine. It's a change of pace.
Change of pace of it all. It'd be too boring.
See, the reason why I think ultimately the wing you could pick over the rib, and I'm not going to fight you on that. I don't. If you want the rib, the wing, whatever you want, right? You can do more with the wing. It's open, and it lends itself to more sauces, more seasonings, more creativity. Where the rib, you put barbecue sauce on it, right? You're not putting any kind of other sauce on rib. You're not having, you know, a sriracha rib or something that, or a garlic parmesan
rib. Yeah,
or an Alfredo. You're not doing that to the rib, right?
Right.
The wing lends itself amazing different sauces and flavors and things and whatnot and da-da-da to it. The rib, if somebody came to you and said, I've got garlic parmesan wings, you're like, all right, I'll try one of these. Somebody comes to you, I have garlic parmesan ribs, you're like, I don't think so.
I might try that, though, to be honest with you. Garlic parmesan guy over here.
Yeah, so I'm going to run this by you guys because I've talked about it, but not on the air. I was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and I ordered wings, garlic parmesan wings, and they put the wrong sauce on it. I took a bite out of the wing. I said, this is the wrong sauce. I ordered whatever. They re-sauced the used wings that I had on my plate, including the one that I took a bite out of, and gave them back to me.
No.
Like, you're in the restaurant industry. What do you do in that type of situation?
You take the original plate away. You apologize. Or you give them the offer, like, I'll leave these if you want to eat them. And then you go get the actual correct order.
Right. You don't re-sauce wings that somebody already took a bite out of.
No, that's awful.
It was
especially
terrible
because
that's already been used.
Because I didn't want that sauce.
So they took your plate back.
They took the plate back with the sauce on it.
After
I said I didn't order, this was the wrong sauce.
And so they actually took the plate back.
Right. Re-sauced the wings with the old sauce on it, the bitten wing.
Probably.
Yeah,
and then brought it back out to your table.
This is why I'm Larry David deep down inside, because I would have made a scene and been like, eh.
And I was with a friend of mine, and he's like, just shut up and eat
Just,
and
I'm like, no, I don't really want to.
At what point did they think it was, not only that, but they redid it. That means they put your saliva in whatever they used.
Yes.
And now it's, I thought we were in a pandemic.
That's right.
That doesn't work on so many levels.
Yeah.
All right, so the Chiefs are rematching with the Bills, and you can look back and you go, Week 5, throw it out, which is true. This is a long time ago now for both teams. You look at the most recent vintage, you're like, wow, this could be 50-49.
Sure.
Based on their most recent performances.
You just don't know what to expect.
But there is a reason you should feel better about the matchup. If you thought, okay, they won 38-20. Mm-hmm. And they big boyed you. They really did big boy you. Like two games to me on the schedule this year for the Chiefs stand out. This one and the Tennessee game, where I felt like, wow, they got really out physical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Buffalo and Tennessee are the only two games this year that I looked at and went, they should have lost those games.
You got pushed around. You got pushed around in those.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a definitive reason why you should feel better, to me, it's the defense. And you can say,
so
well.
So we've turned the page tonight. We're done with yesterday. We're on to Buffalo, right?
Yeah, I'm on Buffalo. That's fine. We got what we needed out of yesterday. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
preseason week four is over.
Yeah.
That's right. Do you realize that first matchup with the Bills? No Chris Jones.
See, I didn't remember that. Man, now you say that, though, yeah.
No Charvarius Ward.
Where was he?
Frank Clark was back after two games off. He played in one game of the first four.
Mm-hmm.
And he was off for two games heading into that Buffalo. Wasn't playoff Frank Clark we saw yesterday, right? And remember at the time, the Chiefs were playing Dan Sorensen.
Who?
Juan Thornhill was not playing as much. Dan Sorensen was playing. Dan Sorensen had 100% of the snaps in that first meeting.
So almost all of them?
And we didn't have a Melvin Ingram on the roster.
Yeah, that's true. Completely different defense.
This is
now.
A vastly different defense than that first go round. Not say that this isn't going to be probably their biggest challenge of the year. I think it will be. I think if the Bills are anywhere close to that Saturday offense, that's imposing.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense completely different from who we're playing, right? You made the pivot. You got away from one guy, went to another. You didn't have your best defensive player in that game. You didn't have your best cover corner in that game.
Yeah.
You were playing the wrong safety at the time in that game.
And you didn't have Mel Ingram.
And you didn't have Melvin Ingram, the best in-season acquisition you could ask for.
Right.
On this defense. So,
all right, Chiefs win 27-5.
Just on the short list.
Well, they get a field goal to safety at the end.
I feel a whole lot better because the defense is a whole lot better than that first meeting.
It's a completely different defense, Josh, when you put it that way, really. I mean, you start to factor in the guys that are playing at an elite level right now. Chris Jones is playing at the elite level right now. Ingram's playing at that kind of level. Frank Clark showed up to work finally. I mean, so like we're getting a different type of defense and a different style of play from the guys that go out there that were out there, you know, in week, what was it, 3 or 4 against the Buffalo Bills. And so, yeah, I think Buffalo right now, if they're looking back at that game tape from earlier on in this year, they're doing a major disservice because you might as well be watching a game of baseball because it's completely different than what we're seeing out there from the Kansas City Chiefs right now. You've got to watch what they did yesterday, the last couple of weeks of the season, see how their defense is playing. I think Buffalo is going to be ready. I think they're going to have a great game plan. It's the divisional round of the playoffs. They're one of the best teams out there. I don't think Buffalo is going to come in and say, wow, when did they get Melvin Ingram? I don't remember this guy being on the roster before. Like, they're going to be prepared. But I think the Chiefs have so much more now than they went to battle with back in September against this Buffalo team. And I think they have enough right now to go out there and kind of hold this offense down where they didn't. If they didn't make any changes on defense and guys didn't start playing better from that first game against Buffalo, we're probably saying, boy, the Chiefs don't make it out of the wild card round with that style of defense. But they're playing a level of defense that we saw during that 8-week stretch. And if it keeps up for the rest of the year, nobody's beating this team.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to have to. I mean, they're going to have to defend really, really well this week. Josh Allen scares me, man. I mean, his ability to run the football, and basically they dialed back that after they were kicking the snot out of New England. Like he's just going to sit back here and throw. His ability to run and even design runs is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously he can throw outside the numbers way better than that guy last night. Oof. Woof. But I also thought the Chiefs covered very well last night too. I thought they covered, just the quarterback couldn't throw it in the zip code of most of his receivers or to them if they were too far down the field.
He was lollipopping that thing all over the place.
You know, this quarterback's going to be vastly different. He's going to make you work, but
do you think Stephon Diggs will be a bigger test than Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yes. Yes, I do. Okay. Or Deontay Johnson, who kept dropping passes.
Why did he drop all those passes?
I don't know. He was practicing on the sideline.
With tennis balls.
You don't see a lot of sideline practicing during a game.
Yeah.
by anybody other than the guy warming up as the backup quarterback or the kicker and punter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the sideline, like, practicing after a few of those drops. So he was having some kind
of rough.
He was
not having a good day.
This is going to be the toughest test for the defense, I think. Don't get me wrong. But they're better equipped than they were back in week number five.
Mm-hmm.
A playoff edition of thank our lucky stars that we have Mahomes and not another quarterback who shows a huge lack of leadership. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Mahomes on the near hash, in the shotgun, feet staggered. Brings a man in motion, Hardman. He looks to swing it. Now he goes underneath to McKinnon. Touchdown, Kansas City, on an underhand shovel to Jerick McKinnon, faking him out with a jet action. And the Chiefs are on the board at 5:45 to go in the second quarter. Steelers have done a good job of mixing up their defense as they come on a four-man rush. Pump and go. Here's side. Pringle over the shoulder with the catch and hauls it in. Touchdown, Kansas City. A penalty flag thrown at the point of the pass. It's a 12-yard touchdown pass pending the penalty. Third down and 20 for the Chiefs at the Steeler 48. E.J. Watt for the right shoulder of Mahomes. In the pocket. Step up, firing down the near side. Kelce at the 20, 15 to the 10, and into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City, on a tightrope catch and run of 48 yards on third and 20 with 13 seconds remaining in the second quarter.
Michael Burton is the fullback. Tackle over tackle to the right. The Chiefs are going to fake it. They roll to the right side. They throw a big man touchdown. Big man touchdown. Allegretti. Nick Allegretti with the touchdown reception. And it gives Patrick Mahomes an all-time National Football League record with postseason touchdowns in his first five seasons as Allegretti spikes the ball, giving Mahomes an NFL record.
Steelers show a four-man defensive front. Trying to build a wall. Now they're going to throw it long. The Chiefs want Tyreek Hill over the shoulder. Touchdown, Kansas City. And Mahomes is on fire. Five consecutive touchdown drives. A corner route to the right side of the field to Tyreek Hill. 30-yard touchdown.
Mitch Holtis, last night on 106.5. The Wolf, it happened about that fast.
Sure seemed like it, right?
He's rung up the pinball machine, ding, 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 and put together from the 5:45 mark of the second quarter to make the game 7-7 to the 9:14 mark of the third quarter. It was 35-7.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
It's like a quarter's worth of work.
That's a busy quarter's worth of work.
They were down 7-0 with 5:46 to go before halftime.
Correct.
And with 9:14 to go in the third quarter, they were up 35-7.
That is correct.
Okay.
How does that happen?
Because they're good. That's how that happens.
And they were pissed.
And they were mad.
It's a hell of a combination to have
that's
for that
right.
team.
Mm-hmm. That is, man, because that's what they thrive on. They absolutely 100% thrive on it. I saw Carrington tweeted after the game last night that this week will be filled of Bills and Chiefs talking about how nobody respects them and nobody gives them a chance. He said this is going to be a long week.
Quite possibly,
but
he's
100% right about that. We're going to see that from both sides. Nobody gave us a chance. Nobody thought we could. All the haters, all that nonsense.
Nobody's saying we could go in Kansas City.
Right.
No, everybody's picking the Bills.
Yeah, everybody's picking,
it's
exactly.
Whichever side
the world's
is.
Against us. Yeah. No, actually, I saw a lot of people say you were going to win this game. Well, I mean, but other than those people, you know, they'll find a way to do it.
The Chiefs are 2.5 or 3-point favorite.
Yeah, I saw 2.5 late last night. It's already moved to 3, huh?
Well, I saw an initial line of 3 and that went. Then I saw 2.5, okay. Too, so it depends on where you're
looking. It depends on where you're looking. Yeah, I saw the 2.5.
Almost a pick'em.
Yeah. So basically on a neutral field, that's a
correct.
That's a toss-up game, right?
Correct.
Yeah. If that were the Super Bowl, then the Kansas City Chiefs and Buffalo Bills would be a pick 'em game.
Correct. Although both of them are about in the same range right now. Tennessee is actually favorite. I think that one's going to move. I think that line's going to move. But Chiefs about a field goal favorite. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah. It's fine.
But man, what a run. That's you just don't see this in football, except for the Chiefs. I mean,
and the Bills for one night.
Yeah. Well, and the Bills, that was the whole game, though. I mean,
that's what I said. For one night, they were very good. They were the best there's ever been.
That was their whole game. I'm not maybe not even knocking them. They were impressive too. They went 7-for-7 in touchdowns. And before I think the last possession, they were like they had only been on third down 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
They were 6-for-6 on third down and 7 touchdowns.
It was the most impressive drive in the history of the NFL. One, that's not hyperbole. It's true.
But this one, to me, stands out because it just happened so fast. He had 5 touchdowns in that span.
Right. It took Buffalo all day to score 7 touchdowns. Yeah. It took the Chiefs like 5 minutes. What are you talking about, Buffalo? Yeah. It literally took you every drive that you had to score 7 touchdowns in a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs scored 5 touchdowns while yawning.
Yeah.
If Buffalo wants to play this game, I mean, I know you had the only perfect offensive game in the history of the NFL. 7 drives, 7 touchdowns, no turnovers, no field goals. Perfect day at the office for the Buffalo offense. But could you do it in as quick as possible as the Chiefs did? Like, if you get into a shootout with the Chiefs, could you survive? I don't know.
It'd take you a whole game.
Take you a whole game to get where the Chiefs doing a half a quarter. I mean, come on now.
Ridiculous.
We're talking about like a drag them out, plot them out type of offense in Buffalo. We're talking about a quick strike, fast offense here. I like what I got here.
Andy Reid's already on to Buffalo.
Proud of our players, our coaches, for the job that they did. We understand this is the first step, but it was the most important game today. And that's the way our guys handled it. And so now we get ready for a good Buffalo team that's coming in here Sunday, 5:30 our time. I know Arrowhead will be rocking here.
Uh-oh.
And we'll have a good week of preparation and get ourselves ready too.
He didn't get the sponsor in.
Well, plus he said at 5:30 our time.
Yeah, he let us know real quick.
Yeah.
Check your local listings or just tune into 106.5 The Wolf.
That's
I was
right.
hoping he would deliver that.
You guys had a big audience last night. Half of Johnson County didn't have power last night.
I heard that. There was like power outage in Joco?
Yeah, apparently so. A lot of people did not have power last night in Johnson County. So you guys must have had a big audience of people sitting in their cars listening.
I hope.
That's I know. Good. I do
That's
too.
Good. Or you got that crank radio out when there's no power and you crank the radio and you got the got the signal to
How
go.
How about that? Like, way to go on losing power in the middle of a Chiefs game.
That's the worst time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost more forgivable during an actual storm.
Yeah, during a storm, you can see there's weather.
It is during a Chiefs game.
Things happen. There was wind. So I get it in a storm, but during a Chiefs game, there's no excuse for that. Mm. So I hope everybody got their power back on.
Yeah, hope you're listening today.
Yeah.
You can catch up. I'm sure they'll replay it in the NFL Network or something.
Yeah, it'll be on NFL Network later. But could you imagine, what would you do? I mean, our friend Jayhawk for Life lost it, right? He lost power. He had to go to a bar. The bar closed at 8. Just stuck in his car listening.
Well, I guess I'd try to watch on my phone first. Yeah. And then, you'd have to figure out at some point in time, like, do you leave? Do you stay? Is it going to come on any moment?
No, it's not.
Or is it going to be a while?
Mm-hmm.
And they can never let you know. But if they could let you know, it's going to be a while. Okay, well, I'll drive to somewhere where there's power.
Right.
Drive around and you find a bar that's got power.
Oh, you're closing at 8 o'clock on the night of a Chiefs game? Yeah. That doesn't make much sense.
Quite possibly.
They got to go watch the game, too.
Yeah, well, that's you can watch it at work.
That's true.
But you're going to close at 8. The game started at 7. You might as well stay open. Or close before 7 to let your employees get the hell out of there so they can go watch the game at home.
A playoff edition of Thank Goodness We Have Mahomes. And thank goodness he's our quarterback because there could be others. You could have other quarterbacks like, I don't know, Dak Prescott, who helped bungle the end of the game for the Cowboys.
Right.
And then is going to get caught up in blaming the refs, apparently. But a quarterback draw slides down, maybe runs too far, takes up too much clock, doesn't hand the ball to the referee. They spot the ball, trying to spike it out of time. Boy, that whole thing was a mess. And didn't hear much of their quarterback taking a lot of the blame.
It's risky, but when you've practiced it, as I said, as we've done over and over again, you're not necessarily you're not necessarily worried about it. You're trusting your training and everything that you put into it. As I said, I went and ran, got down. As I looked up and was getting behind Tyler, once again, saw the 4 seconds, thought it was time. And, yeah, I mean, the rest, you don't prepare for things like that. But, I mean, I guess we'll start having to, knowing the way this just played.
Oh, yeah, yeah. More prepared for the rest. Like, didn't hand him the ball, and then he bumped into you, you know, doing his job,
mm-hmm.
which is to set the ball, which you have to do all the time.
You hand the ball to the umpire, or does that Tyler Schaub? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, no, we've practiced it. You hand it to the center. The umpire, all he has to do is usually come in and tap the ball. Yeah, I mean, don't necessarily know exactly why the hit happened, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I know he's going to come in and touch the ball. We can say, yeah, he needs to be closer to the ball or whatever, but in hindsight, I mean, just tough. Tough to accept.
Nothing that happened on that final play is the fault of anybody but the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't think you hand it to the center, do you?
No, you hand it to the ref.
I mean, if you hand it to the center is going to hand it to the ref. They spotted the ball in the wrong spot.
They put the ball on the wrong spot. Yeah, that's it. So the ref had to spot the ball in the proper spot.
Correct. Like you're supposed to do.
Right.
Right.
Last I checked, yeah.
Man, what a final. Ugh.
Made the call knowing that we're going to get some yards and get down and got to clock it. Knowing that situation, something we've practiced over and over again. Ran, went, got some yards, went down. As I was getting behind Tyler, saw 4 seconds left. Thought it was time, obviously, to make sure everybody was set. And then, honestly, just got hit from behind. And then still there. When I gathered myself, saw 2 seconds and thought I could get the snap and get it down before time expired. And unsure exactly what happened other than that.
I know what happened. You poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part.
You guys had 60 minutes, and now you want to blame the fan,
right,
or the ref for not allowing you to have two more seconds. You had plenty of time to win that game.
Plenty of time to win that game. You had 60 minutes to win that game. And San Francisco gave that game to you. They gave you the opportunity.
Jimmy Garoppolo was trying.
He was trying to give that game away as much as he gave away the Super Bowl to the Chiefs. And, you know, when the 49ers went up by like 3 scores and the defense is celebrating all together in the end zone again, I'm like, we've seen this before, and it didn't work out so well the last time the defense celebrated like that. And then it started to unravel, and Jimmy G couldn't hit an open guy. Like, if you're the 49ers today, I understand he's your quarterback and you got to go for the rest of the year. I have no problem parting with him at the end of the season, because in big moments, he just does not show up. You need your quarterback to show up in big moments.
They've already solved that problem.
They got their guy. But I can see why. Like, when people question, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is good, like I did too. I've now seen 2 major games where he was unable to complete a pass when his team needed it the most to put a game away, in the Super Bowl and then yesterday's game. Like,
and then the question is, do you trust Dak Prescott? I mean, you take any ownership of this thing?
None at all. I'd never trusted Dak Prescott. I don't think he's very good, but that's just me. I know I'm in the minority.
Everybody else's fault. They did everything right. And then, and there's the fans, Bob.
Dak, what do you think about the fans throwing beer balls on the field there at the very end? Did you see that? I think one of them hit Tank Lawrence.
No, I didn't see that. That's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team. You're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to this sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic. I get that. But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah they were.
Well, credit to them then.
That's a tank.
Yeah.
They weren't doing it.
Oh, credit. Credit to them.
I hope the NFL fines him $100,000.
The question was about the fans getting after the team. Then he realized, oh, no, the fans are getting after your referees. Oh, well, good.
Oh, good. That, so it's okay to throw trash and stuff at referees as they're running off the field, according to Dak Prescott. I hope the NFL fines him $100,000 and suspends him for 2 games. And I'm being serious about that. The man is advocating violence against the officials.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a total BS move by a guy who's supposed to be the leader of America's
very
team.
Very poor post game to me by Dak.
Unbelievable.
He missed a lot of marks.
He really did. Never once accepted blame, wants to criticize the referees.
Missing the mark on the last plays. He missed some marks there, too.
I mean, my goodness, Dak Prescott, you put your team in that position. Also, I don't know if you saw this or not, Dallas had 14 penalties in the game last night, the only team in the NFL this year to have 2 14 penalized games. Dallas led the league in penalties this year. They commit a lot of penalties. It's good for the NFL to have the Cowboys alive because they are allegedly America's team. I don't know what we're looking at to say that they're America's team because they're not. And I think more importantly, they had an opportunity to win that football game and they didn't take advantage of it. And you can sit there and pine and complain about referees and advocate violence against officials like Dak Prescott did. But at the end of the day, you're still going in there with a trash bag today and cleaning out your locker and going home and watching the rest of the NFL on television, just like the Dallas Browns do every single year. Couldn't happen to a better group. Couldn't happen to a better team. I love it last night. Dallas losing in epic, epic fashion like they did. Quite honestly, saved the Chiefs game. It was the saving grace of the wild card weekend.
And let me ask you a question as well. Even if everything would work perfectly and they clocked the football and the ref didn't bump him or whatever, all that nonsense. They still would have to complete that final play.
Right, there's still another play, yes.
Into the end zone
But see, Josh, you're speaking in logic now. We don't do that in sports. We blame the refs. We blame everybody else for our shortcomings and don't think about what
could happen. The play would still have to be converted, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I was just checking.
Yeah, but come on, Josh. Again, you're living in a reality that we don't like to live in. This is 2022 where we blame everybody else for our faults.
Yes, they probably should have had a chance. That's great and fine, but I think the Cowboys were more responsible for not having a chance than the referees were.
And so were the 49ers for stopping them.
Yeah, that too.
But also, I mean, you're going to promote this Kellen Moore to be a head coach. Right now, if I'm interviewing Kellen Moore and that's the last play that I saw him as the offensive coordinator call in Dallas, you understand how a clock works, sir? Like, sorry, interview canceled.
I'm always amazed at a clock management too. It is terrific because you have
every coach sucks at it, Josh. Every coach does
for the most part. Yes, and then you have all this wasted time at other parts of the game.
Yeah, like you're meandering around in the third quarter. Nobody ever says clock management.
No, and then everything's so precious at the end. Well, maybe if you didn't, you know what?
Maybe if you didn't take the play clock down to one before every step. How many delays of game are we going to see that don't get called in the NFL? I mean, it happens all the time.
There's just plenty of time to get things done.
Yeah, don't take all 40 seconds. Go 35. Save 5 seconds of play. You got plenty of time at the end of the game.
Slide 5 yards earlier.
Yeah.
You're going to chuck it to the end zone anyway.
Or get out of bounds. About 7 seconds, you're running down the field. Oh, boy, I better get out of bounds at 5 seconds. Stop the clock.
I'd rather rely on that than the spot and spike.
Yeah, right.
That's when you get iffy.
I mean, then you are relying on older officials that aren't as young as a 20-year-old football player to get down there.
Yeah, I got to admit, the ISO video of that referee like running was not the most fleet of foot.
Let me see every other play, what goes on. When was the last time you watched an umpire?
I haven't.
Like, so that's the umpire. He's in the back next to the ref.
He was not fast.
Who watches that guy?
Are we looking for elite fast ball spotters?
No, but that's what they can do, though, Josh, to push the narrative. They go, look at this guy. Look how slow he is. He's not there because we've got this ISO play him. Show me every other play in every NFL game. I want to see how that compares to the umpire in that situation in every other game, because I guarantee it's probably the same.
The winner of that game was clearly Nickelodeon, though.
Absolutely.
Like, the way they were clowning McCarthy that whole game, they were like sliming him on the sidelines. Yeah. Oh, man.
It felt very appropriate.
It did. It was perfect. Nickelodeon did a great job. I wish we would do more of those games on Nickelodeon.
I think it's perfect.
I think it's great.
I don't think we need more. I think, I liked how they had like SpongeBob and Patrick the Starfish in between the goalposts.
Yes.
And if they made it, they smiled. If they missed it, they frowned.
Great.
I'm good with that.
I liked it. I think it's fun. Second year in a row, they've done a great job at it, too. And you give Noah Eagle and also Nate Burleson a lot of credit for knowing everything there is to know about Nickelodeon. That takes some serious show prep to do that one.
Nate Burleson's the next JB. They have almost officially announced that. Not necessarily, but they have put him in the spot when he's out.
Yeah.
And they've kind of like hinted at the segue of The next guy up will be Nate Burleson. Nate Burleson's great.
He's fantastic.
I don't know if he has time for all his gigs.
Right? I mean, he's now the new Ryan Seacrest,
to,
right?
Stack up all these
gigs. When NBC comes paying or CBS and they say, here's a check to just do this, he says, all right,
I'll just do that. Now, he's done a great job.
All right,
man.
Can't wait for this. Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, coming up at 12:30. You know, he's like Mr. Bill.
Fire Marshal Bill
loves his Buffalo Bills. Was at the game the other night, shooting the video and everything
with Jim Kay.
So I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about this Bills Chiefs matchup. Kyle Brandt coming up at 12:30 with Cody and Gold. That'll do it for us. If you missed any of the show today, go to 610sports.com or via the free Odyssey app. Cody and Gold are next. You're on 610 Sports Radio.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
And overseas.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.